This is For the Movement, a podcast that discusses persistent policy, social, and civil rights issues affecting communities of color. I'm Kim Atterbury, Senior Director of Communications and External Affairs. Today, I'm joined by Todd Cox, Director of Policy for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, also known as LDF. Todd and I discussed the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the court, and the unprecedented and unusual efforts to confirm him as the next Supreme Court justice. Todd, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
So in July, seemingly out of nowhere, Justice Kennedy announced that he is retiring from the Supreme Court of the United States. The Trump administration has acted swiftly to name Brett Kavanaugh as the nominee to replace Justice Kennedy on the highest bench. Tell us, who is Brett Kavanaugh?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to participate. Brett Kavanaugh is a judge, currently a judge on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And he's also had a career as a lawyer and a government official before becoming a judge in the early 2000s. He spent some time as an official in the George W. Bush administration, during which time he dealt with many hot-button issues. Mm-hmm. In fact, during his confirmation hearing when he was a judge the first time through, he was asked if he had any involvement with the administration's use of torture. He said no, but later it was revealed that he later may have actually had some involvement. So that's something that we definitely need to probe as this process goes forward.
So as I mentioned, the Senate and the administration is moving quickly and has started the process of confirming Judge Kavanaugh. What is the usual process and how is this different from what usually happens?
Sure. Well, you know, as you mentioned, this process is moving at an alarming pace. And typically, we have seen a lot of time given to vetting, meaning, you know, looking into the background of potential judges. We see a lot of times presidents, particularly the last administration, spending a lot of time talking to outside folks, members of Congress, the Senate, trusted advisors, as well as, you know, folks in the legal community to find out who should be the best replacement for a given judge. This particular nominee seems to have been vetted early on by the Federalist Society, which is an ultra-right-wing organization that has long worked to stack the courts with judges opposed to civil rights principles and principles that LDF has fought to defend. You know, this administration has chosen to use that organization as well as the Heritage Foundation as almost its sole source for judges and use them to create a short list from which they have selected many judges who are being nominated for the lower courts as well as the Supreme Court. And let me just say, I should have started with this, that there is no more position, no more important position than a federal judge. And the Supreme Court has, and we've seen this numerous times, been often the last bulwark to protecting and defending our rights. We see Brown versus Board of Education. We see how the lower courts and courts of appeal have defended our rights with the Muslim ban, particularly with this administration where civil rights are really at issue.
So for clarity, are there examples of key legal decisions or cases that have direct impact on our lives that relates to SCOTUS appointments or Supreme Court appointments?
Absolutely. And, you know, we go back to the history of Legal Defense Fund, Brown versus Board of Education, which was responsible for desegregating public schools, but more importantly, setting the standard for removing apartheid, America's apartheid, across a number of areas. The Supreme Court played a key anti-majoritarian role there in making sure that the rights of African Americans, but then the rights of all Americans, were effectuated with regard to desegregation. So the Supreme Court plays a critical role, and one needs to look no further, I think, than the role that Justice Kennedy has played in the court, someone who has upheld the dignity of all Americans. Obviously, not every decision was perfect, but he was the deciding vote in Fisher, which was a case that upheld the use of affirmative action in higher education. He was the justice that decided, or one of the key judge vote that decided Obergefell, which was the decision, same-sex marriage decision. So, you know, you look at his legacy and the importance that he's played in the Supreme Court, then you look at what happened in the last term. where we had a court basically vindicate the Muslim ban, which was, without putting too strong a point on it, a policy of bigotry. We have, in the last term, a Supreme Court ratifying a redistricting plan in Texas that was found to have been intentionally discriminatory. We have a court in the last term that made a number of decisions that, frankly, undermined the rights of the most vulnerable in this country. So who we put on the court matters very much. Who replaces Justice Kennedy matters very much. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that historically as well as the last term.
So why does it matter so much? Why are appointments of SCOTUS justices so important? And then you kind of touched on this, mm-hmm. but maybe to dive a little deeper, what implications does this have on communities of color when it comes to issues such as immigration and voting rights and things of that nature?
Well, LDF has been litigating Supreme Court cases all of our history, certainly the last, almost the last 80 years. And, you know, over that time, we've seen the importance of SCOTUS appointments. Mm-hmm. Who is placed on the court can sway the ideological values of ideological underpinnings of legal opinions, but also sway the values overall of the courts. Mm-hmm. As I said before, Justice Kennedy was oftentimes the single vote that upheld, for example, affirmative action, upheld opportunities for LGBT community members to marry whoever, you know, who they loved. I think that critically for African Americans and other people of color, we see civil rights on the line. We see voting rights on the line. We saw that redistricting plan I alluded to before. And we see a number of cases in the pipeline with regard to the Harvard affirmative action plan, likely, and other contexts in the pipeline that will be before the Supreme Court again. And African Americans and other people of color know better than anyone else the importance of courts, but also the Supreme Court's importance in maintaining and vindicating our rights as full citizens in this country.
What is LDF's position on Kavanaugh?
Well, you know, we've taken a long, hard look at his record, and we are opposed. We wrapped up our report this week outlining our analysis of his civil rights record, his background in general, but also his civil rights record. And, you know, for us, it's a difficult decision to make to oppose a justice. We don't make it lightly. But considering all of the record that we have so far, that's the decision I think that we've made. And for us, context matters. And there's no doubt that there are a couple of elements of that context that I think bear on this nominee. Number one, it's the overall moment that we're in. This nomination is being made by an administration under a cloud of federal investigations. In fact, an investigation into the efficacy of the very election that allows this president to make this appointment. Mm-hmm. In addition, this administration has put on the table many issues that may, within the context of that investigation, be before this very court to which this appointment is being made. So number one, there shouldn't be any process going forward. We believe that that the Senate should press pause on consideration of any nominee to the Supreme Court until this cloud is lifted and until the next election. To the American people have spoken. Number two, the other context within which we sort of see this nomination is the record that we have so far. Now, you know, one critique that we've made is that, again, this process shouldn't go forward until we have the full record. The Senate has chosen to hold back millions of pages of records with regard to this nominee's involvement with the Bush administration. Obviously, we've looked at his opinions as a judge, but he's had a significant career outside of being a judge, particularly with the Bush administration, as I alluded to before. And the Senate has refused to make many of those pieces of the record public. Mm-hmm. Based on the record we have so far, there's no doubt in our mind that his nomination and his position on the bench would be a real threat to civil and human rights. But we really need the rest of that information to allow the Senate to fulfill its obligations to advise and consent and properly vet this nominee. And the final context, I think, is the overall nomination strategy of this administration. We have seen this administration nominate judges to the bench, the lower court benches, as well as the circuit courts, who have an overwhelming hostility mm-hmm. to civil and human rights. And, you know, that context is important. It sort of underscores the strategy overall for this administration. It's why it put the Federalist Society in charge of its vetting process. And, you know, it has resulted in four judges, which is astounding, who are unable to say Brown versus Board of Education, a decision that is the undergirding of many of our civil and human rights strategic legal regimes, they were unable to say it was rightly decided. So context matters. And given the full context within which we examine this nominee, we've decided to oppose.
Based on what we know, how many senators appear to be for or against Kavanaugh? And similarly, what is the makeup of the court? How many judges are quote-unquote conservative? How many are quote-unquote liberal?
Well, you know, I think we, starting with the last part of the question first, we look at it as not so much conservative versus liberal, really about judicial philosophy, mm-hmm. as well as underlying values. And we know, as I mentioned before, how critically close this court is on those points. So I'll answer the question with examples. I think I mentioned before, Justice Kennedy was the deciding vote in the affirmative action case, Fisher versus Texas. Can't really underscore the importance of that. And time and again, he's been that vote. We have four judges aligned with the values of allowing race-conscious remedies, allowing race to be used to remedy discrimination, past discrimination in this country, race being used to effectuate the rights of the most vulnerable in this country, versus others who look at the Constitution in a very narrow way, mm-hmm. would make decisions that undermine those very rights. So who sits on the bench, who occupies that seat is critical. The first part of your question with regard to how it's all shaking out, you know, it's hard to know exactly, you know, the count of senators who are for and against this nominee. We are encouraged by the number of senators who have come out recently saying that this nomination shouldn't go forward. This confirmation process couldn't go forward. And it's really in the light or in the post Cohen plea deal last week that we're seeing sort of a groundswell of energy amongst senators saying, wait a minute, let's press pause. Let's put the brakes on this process. That was already alarmingly going alarmingly fast. But I think, you know, we've been calling from the very beginning for this and as well as NUL, for this process not to go forward. I think the Cohen plea last week, where he implicated certainly himself, but maybe the president, mm-hmm. in activities that may have interfered with the last election, that has given, I think, some senators a great deal of pause as with regarding whether or not this process should go forward.
The rush to seat Kavanaugh is very much in keeping, though, with this administration's quiet and laser focus on transforming the judicial system, correct?
That's correct.
So since 45 took office, tell us how the judicial system has changed or the courts have changed, which courts have been targeted and why, and importantly, the commonalities amongst the type of people that's being appointed by President Trump.
Sure. Well, as I alluded to before, there's no position more important to our democracy than a federal judge. And, you know, as I said, you know, we look to how the courts have behaved with regard to the Muslim ban litigation, mm-hmm. overturning this administration's effort to impose a bigoted policy. We look at how the courts have vindicated our rights to with regard to this so-called voter integrity commission that
right.
was put in place to, frankly, drum up evidence of vote fraud, which didn't exist. We had courts time and again pushing back on that. And again, we go back to Brown versus Board of Education, how important courts are to vindicating our rights. Those selected for a judicial appointment are given a lifetime appointment, and they're entrusted with, as I said before, adjudicating difficult legal disputes. And, you know, it's a tremendous responsibility and requires a lot of vetting. Unfortunately, this administration has left that vetting to the Federalist Society and to Heritage, the Heritage Foundation. And the Federalist Society is an organization that is almost exactly opposite in values to what the Legal Defense Fund, NUL, and other civil rights organizations promote. Mm-hmm. And it's very troubling that this administration is using their list as the source for judicial appointments. As a result, we've seen many nominees put forward who are either unqualified, literally unqualified, never tried a case, don't have the proper experience, not rated qualified by the ABA, or not qualified in the sense that I'm going to say is important also, that their commitment to the rule of law and civil rights are in question, if not overtly clear that they're hostile to civil rights and the rule of law. That's unprecedented to have that sort of portfolio of judges put forward. And as I said before, we've had notably four judges at least who have been unable to say that Brown versus Board of Education was rightly decided. And that's a case that many of us look at as almost Marbury versus Madison, a basic tenet of our society and our mm-hmm. government, this idea that we're all created equal, that Plessy versus Ferguson is not good law. And we have judges who are now being put forward and sitting on the bench who aren't able to say that it was rightly decided. In terms of targeting, they've obviously put on the fast track, pushing through judges, you know, just an unprecedented number of judges, and the volume is staggering. But they obviously are targeting the circuit courts mm-hmm. because those are often the courts of last resort. You know, oftentimes folks don't get appeals to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court takes very few appeals. So the circuit courts are critical. And we've seen a lot of focus on these circuit courts, Fifth Circuit, for example, where that have been sort of battlegrounds for civil rights. And it's very concerning that these circuits that encompass these states that still are states where we're fighting a lot of civil rights battles are now being stacked with these appointees who, frankly, are there to impose and lock in the discriminatory retrograde policies of this administration.
Todd, we like to close each episode by asking our audience what their call to action is for the movement. The hearings for Kavanaugh will begin on September 4th and run through that week. So what is the call to action for the public during the week of the hearings? What do we need them to do today?
Well, right now, the first thing we need to do is call their senator and tell them to postpone those hearings. Mm-hmm. We need all the records, right? We don't apply for jobs and we don't get jobs without a resume, without knowing everything about the person who's applying for the job. And that's basically what we're asking the Senate to do, mm-hmm. to have a hearing to discuss, ask questions of an applicant for a job without knowing any of the information that's relevant to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. So we want people to call the Senate and say stop. We shouldn't go forward with this because we don't have the records, but also because this administration is under that cloud that I mentioned. They're trying to appoint someone to basically be the jury, potential juror of issues that could involve the investigations that we've talked about that this administration is confronting. So we need everyone to call their senator and say stop. These hearings and this confirmation process needs to stop. Secondly, though, we need folks to look closely at this person's record. We're putting our report out. We're going to do a lot of press around it. And we need folks to also call their senators and say, look, if you make the mistake of going forward with this, you need to probe deeply about this person's ability, interest, commitment to civil rights, to human rights. It's ridiculous that I need to put this on the table, but it's an open question mm-hmm. For this nominee as well as many of the nominees that this administration has put on the table. And the last point I'll make is that this cloud over this administration has sort of tainted this process. This process stinks. And any nominee that goes through it successfully will also have that taint.
Right.
The last body that we have defending our rights, let's see, we've lost the executive branch. We now have an executive branch putting forward policies that are antithetical to civil rights. We have a Congress that's unable to or uninterested in checking that executive. The only body we have is the courts, the Supreme Court. If this nominee who is tainted gets seated on the Supreme Court, that last body, that last defender of our rights will also be tainted. So we need to drive that message home with folks that this is basically for all the marbles. And I know African-Americans and other people of color, but particularly African-Americans, know how important the Supreme Court is to making sure our rights are protected.
Where can people go to find your report and just to follow the work of LDF?
They can go to our website, www.naacpldf.org. And we're also on Twitter and on Facebook. So they can always check in with us there.
Thank you for joining us, Todd.
Thank you for having me.
In lieu of an affiliate shout-out this week, we at the National Urban League and our coalition of civil rights partners ask that you call your U.S. senators today and urge them to oppose Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. As Todd stated earlier, what is known of Brett Kavanaugh's judicial and public record shows great hostility towards defending such issues as civil rights, voting rights, affordable health care, women's reproductive rights, and more. There is no position more important to our democracy than a federal judge. It is their duty and obligation to be fair and impartial and interpret the law as intended and not based on political ideology. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, all those things could be in jeopardy. Call your U.S. senators today at 202-224-2222. 3121 and tell them to oppose the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. As always, you can follow us on all social media at NUL Policy for updates. Be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Play. Kudos to our communications and policy teams here at the Washington Bureau and our editing team at Podfly. And thank you for listening to the National Urban League's For the Movement.